Hello there, you awakening wonders. Thanks for joining us for Stay Free with Russell Brand. Wherever you're watching it, you might be watching it over on YouTube. You can only see the whole show on Rumble. If you are watching us on Rumble right now, click this red button here. I'm estimating this here because obviously I'm in real world. I'm a real world person. But for you, there's a red button there. Click it to join our locals community and I'll see all of your comments and stuff like that. Russell, you're fantastic. I made that up. this is what we're talking about today. Joe Biden's in Ukraine. That's where he's gone, doing a little bit of dealing. And we'll be asking and demonstrating whether or not Taiwan has the right criteria even to be the next Ukraine. You know, you've got to make sure that the criteria is correct.
You're suggesting it is the new Ukraine, then?
That's the subtext.
Got it.
You're bringing the subtext to the text.
I just thought I might.
That's Tennessee Williams.
What if people don't get subtext, Russ?
You've got
like your little
bar.
Red button that's not there.
Press it. That's really there. Listen, once we leave YouTube, we're going to be talking to you about natural immunity. And if you understand how the YouTube guidelines are formulated, you'll recognize why it is we're waiting until we're exclusively on Rumble to discuss that story, because I've got some things to say about natural immunity. I can't say them yet, can I?
No.
I can't say them. And
not even subtext at this point.
Hold on. No, I can't. Not even subtext. There's a WHO of banned subtext. You cannot. WEF, they don't like it. We do not like subtext. I like everything to be nice and clear, like my bubbly, gargly spit, my ever-foaming mouth. Also, we're doing a wonderful presentation. Did you like that?
Very nice.
Come on. We're doing this brilliant presentation on how the word freedom is being redefined before your very eyes to mean, I think, fascism or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally Orwellian, isn't it? To subvert and invert the meaning of particular words.
Hate speech.
Yeah. We've got a mystery guest coming on. It was meant to be Christian Smalls. He might be coming on tomorrow. He's the union leader for Amazon. And ironically, he's not been delivered on time. Mm. We don't know where he's gone. Where is he, Christian Smalls? He was meant to be here. He's a union leader. He ain't been delivered.
Maybe he's round the near the bins or something.
We left him with your neighbour. Excuse me, did you get a union leader? Oh, yeah, they're always dropping these off. Yeah, so hopefully we'll see him tomorrow. But before that, I want to assure you that the system you're living with, within, on planet prison planet... Don't you worry about a thing. Absolutely fine. Buddhist Abbey loses all of its monks after they all test positive for meth. All of them. Not a single monk in the place. Do you know one of the reasons I didn't become a monk?
Mm.
There's two.
Go on.
And one of them was that because you can't do meth.
Right, okay.
And the other one was obvious. And like, I feel like they might as well have been doing that. Look at that. Thai Abbey's four Buddhist monks. So there's only four of them.
Hang on.
They've been defrocked, dismissed and sent to rehab after they've all been on methamphetamine when the police sprung them. The monks were then sent to a clinic to undergo drug rehab. And then they're going to be replaced at the temple.
I think they were lonely. If there's only four of them, I thought it was a whole abbey full of monks.
I got the idea that
was them.
That's them all like sort of acting like really spiritual. Like, actually, they're doing well to sit still like that if they're on meth, because it's a very edgy substance, is my understanding.
Yeah.
Not that we're endorsing drugs
are
obviously bad for you. Here's the mainstream media news telling you about that stuff. Let's have a look at those guys.
This temple in Thailand lost its monks after they all tested positive for meth. The four monks, including an abbot, all tested positive yesterday and were defrocked.
Because you could say I had a terrible drug habit. Because he's an abbot. Come on.
They've been transferred to a medical facility for drug rehabilitation. But with the temple empty, nearby villagers are worried they can't do any merit-making, which involves...
Do you not think that the villagers have lost faith in the entire system?
You think so?
Like, oh no, what? All the monks are off because they were doing meth. How are we supposed to do that thing that obviously wasn't even working for the people that were most into it? Because the point of being a monk is you've give up everything so that God can come completely into you, nothing between you and God. If you're not into it, don't just go like hit up some meth or however you do it these days.
And all of them.
Every single one of them. It's really caught on. You know the thing we've been doing? Yeah, meditating all the time, letting go of all of our desires. Well, I've got another idea and I think it's better. Talk me through it. It's meth. Okay, it's a bit different from what we were here for. It's in fact the opposite. It's literal dependency on the material and chemical world. I don't know. Hopefully they'll all be all right, those guys. As a recovering drug addict myself, I can offer them a few tips. Although one of the things I would have suggested is go and become a monk. So that's not worked. The Chinese have got this new trick for how to handle protests. You're going to love this, Gareth, because some people worry that you can't handle sort of disruptions and people holding up like placards and all that kind of thing. Well, look at the Chinese. They've got this new technique that's like shielding protesters. Have a look. Cover him up. No. No! They also... Then you get another one in. Look how urgently they move. Then another one. When you see the Chinese moving around, I know they've been sped up, so, you know,
yeah.
Like, they're not that quick. It's not like the methamphetamine monks whizzing their way through meditation. The way they hold them belts like that, I think they will be good in a war.
Yeah, I mean, one positive thing you've got to say about totalitarianism is that it's, you know, it looks good, doesn't it?
They've got that under control.
Yeah.
They really have. Like, if you remove free will from a population, yeah. as we are, I think, doing in our own way, what do you think about, like, our kind of Western totalitarianism, where we're sort of blithely subdued by commodity and idiocy, dimly staring at screens till nothing means anything? Over there in China, it's a bit more...
choreographed. It's like
beautiful.
America's Got Talent over there.
It's enjoyable. It's like the masked singer, the masked yeah. protester. Just cover him up. Who's that inside there? It's Kylie Minogue. let's go on. Let's see more what they do. They've nicked him. But you wait till you see, like, when they've, like, once they walk off, this guy's already got Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. He walks, he marches off with them. He's like, he's actually quite into it. Have a look. Oh, no, it goes back to the beginning.
Oh.
No.
We didn't see the end.
Last clip, pal. Last clip.
The bit at the end, yeah, he starts walking off with them.
Best bit of the whole clip.
Oh.
Oh, these guys.
Oh, well.
I don't know. The whole show ruined. Or is it? No, get off. Turn off the audio now. Don't try and do it now. That's playing out in here, you loonies. Leave it. Stop. I've moved on. I've moved on. I move on fast, don't I, Gal?
Very much so.
You know that about me. Yep. I don't hang on to resentments. No. I can't afford to. And no. that's another of the lessons their monks are going to have to learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't
let go.
Hold on to resentment.
Let go.
Let it go. Let it go. Move forward. Yep. We've got more information for you about the balloons that have been expensively shot out of the sky. $400,000 to shoot a balloon out of the sky. Let's have a look at it on the mainstream news. Apparently, it's just a nice little like Christmas balloon or something. It's just something for it. Might have been well been a Valentine's heart. It was just a festive item. Let's have a look.
Did the U.S. Air Force just shoot down a party balloon?
I gave the order to take down these three objects.
He may be able to bring down balloons, but he can't bring down your drug prices.
Group of balloon enthusiasts, teens, dads, and grandpas say they believe their $12 balloon, just like the one in this photo.
For Joe Biden, that group of men, a sort of young whippersnappers, is an upstart.
Who are these crazy kids releasing balloons
you
in
punks.
The sky? Oh, you punks, I'll take you down like corn pop.
Corn pop would have been a cheaper way of bringing down
it
a balloon. That's
done.
All you do. It's inexpensive to just simply pop a balloon. That is the best way. He should have used his old style skills a little bit, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
If you're watching us on YouTube, remember, we're going to click over into a Rumble. There's a link in the description in a minute because we're going to be talking about natural immunity, and Lord alone knows what would happen to us if we tried to discuss that freely on this platform. Hey, so yeah, let's see what's next.
Second part of this,
what is this game, by the way? Balloon enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts.
They're enthusiastic
they're
about
and,
it.
It's generational. So
generations of balloon enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Although I say that there's a drop off in interest. There's a few elderly, some middle aged, a couple of youngsters. I'd say 10, 20 years.
Also, enthusiast. I mean, I would say enthusiastic about balloons.
Not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough. They're going to a gathering.
Sure, yeah.
And
it's rubbish, that one, though.
That one looks like a Victorian prophylactic, I would say, doesn't it? It's like a sexual measure. All right, let's have a look what's next with these guys.
Was the balloon shot down over Alaska by a $400,000 missile?
You'd have to say pro rata, that's an expensive solution
You'd say
for that
so.
Problem.
Although, if, you know, all the news that they got out of it, it might have been worth it.
Oh, I see. If you think it was a potentially a propaganda
technique, yeah.
One of the things we think is that they were distracting us from that terrible Ohio train wreck and the subsequent environmental disaster. We've got a brilliant presentation about that later in the week. And we're trying to get Erin Brockovich on. I really want Erin Brockovich to come on because of the film Erin Brockovich and everything. And what I feel is, have you noticed, and let me know about this in the chat in the comments, particularly if we're on Locals, because that's what I'm watching here on Locals. In fact, Joe, can you come make it work? It ain't working properly. Like... If you're watching us on Locals, I see all of your comments. Right, what we feel is, like, what troubles me anyway, personally, is the way that environmentalism is used as a kind of calling card ideologically to define a political movement like the Democrat Party. Like, we care about the environment, we care about it. But then when the environment actually really needs a bit of help, look at what Biden's doing back in Norfolk Southern's bid to block lawsuits. And if you really care about the environment, this is an ideal chance to show it beyond rhetoric, isn't it?
Yeah, rather than, you know, siding with the corporations, of which... No doubt. I mean, they definitely threw lobbyists funnel money into the Democrat Party and to the Republican Party. I mean, we was talked today, weren't we, about 80% of US rivers now are like polluted with toxic chemicals. You know, so this isn't just a one-off. Oh God, the Ohio River. What a dreadful situation. This is going on everywhere. So you're not surprised that whether it was a distraction or not from these kind of stories, they're not evidently doing what they should be doing.
It's a brilliant opportunity, as most news stories are these days, to analyse what the systems of power might actually be like. They use rhetoric to convey an interest in environmentalism, but when the opportunity comes to act on behalf of the environment, they do not take it. Joe Biden will say that his administration will protect American workers. When it comes to paying rail workers, who, you know, I feel like they're in industrial action in your country, America. I know that railway workers in our country are getting shafted real bad. They never take those opportunities. The reporting in The Lever there is certainly worth taking a look at. They're an affiliate of this show, I'd go so far as to say.
They're fantastic. Yeah, where is the real national security threat?
That's one of the questions we're posing. Are you more at risk from enthusiastic balloons floating across the sky or from serious pollution in your rivers? And as Gareth's just told you, 80% of your rivers already have that pollution. It's a really, really worrying story. Biden, though, is in Kiev as he thought Putin could outlast us. In what context does he mean there? In a coital situation?
I guess what he's saying is that Putin thought that he'd have this wrapped up a long time ago, but because we keep giving, you know, money, weapons and arms and aid to Ukraine, we've managed to keep this going.
Gareth, you had, like, it's $100 billion in total, but you said that, what was the figure for the average US household now? I think you said $806.
It's $861 now that this has cost the average American household.
That's the average American household. And what worries me about that, I suppose, is it's not like it's going to support Ukrainian troops directly. It's military expenditure, much of which will be for-profit military-industrial complex stuff that will be going to Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, those guys. Not that they don't do great things like actually build really cool telescopes, I heard the other day.
Sure.
But in this instance,
you know, and that plane and that missile.
We've got this brilliant plane. It's pretty expensive. When we had Seymour Hersh on here, he said that was the first mission that plane had ever done. It's been it's cost billions for them to make it. I think that's that one we've seen skipping about like
that's
that, isn't it?
Yeah.
The one you've seen sort of up on its wrong end.
That's it.
Sort of like farting itself into the sky, then scutterbugging off like Clippity Clop's mum. Mitch, what's old Mitch up to? Mitch McConnell's there, the great deer. He's like frozen semen, greyly melting down of the palm of your hand. But I was thinking of it as an ice cream, really.
Right. Because that's how we all like to...
Most of us consume semen as a sort of delicacy. What's he got to say? Oh, yeah, this is a bit of mainstream news. Where's Fox, you know, so right-leaning mainstream stuff about expenditure in Ukraine, check it.
We might have to figure out a way to get more funding so that we have enough ammo for ourselves and to give to allies like Ukraine. What is Biden's
look at the size of that bloody television set they've had to get in order to convey how much money's been spent.
That's a
serious widescreen telly that they've had to use. Some of that budget has been spent on TV sets to get all the zeros on, to be honest, though. There's Putin. Do you want to say something about that?
Oh, I've got a little fact about Anthony Blinken, if you want it.
How unlike you, Gareth, to startle me with a fact. What's it? Tell me about Anthony Blinken.
Anthony Blinken?
I think Anthony Blinken's surname describes what he's doing when there's important business going on. He's just blinking all the time while they're letting balloons out. Anthony, are you looking at this?
No, not really. I'm busy using my little eyes simultaneously.
So he said Wednesday that a Ukrainian attempt at retaking Crimea would be a red line for Vladimir Putin and risks major response. So they're kind of admitting this now. But in January, Zelensky vowed that Ukraine will take back Crimea. So it's just an interesting thing that's going on whilst Joe Biden's over there giving more weapons. It's kind of like they know what Zelensky wants whilst acknowledging how dangerous this would be and yet continuing to supply weapons anyway. It's a strange situation.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. And Putin is not a man to take aggravation lying down. Have you seen this thing where someone comes and stands in front of him in a photo op? Have a look, you'll enjoy this. It's a very strong bass in that track. And who is this little egghead that's getting in front of him, firstly? What's that haircut about? I'm not criticising a person just on the basis of the way that they look.
But he looks like he's from 30 or 40 years ago.
He looks like he's from the wrong era, and his facial expression, I don't know why he wants to be in that photo. And who thinks, like even if you don't know Putin that well, which I don't know what makes him tick or anything, but I figure that is not someone you stand in front of in a lineup.
No.
I think I'll get in front of him. He won't mind. He seems, from everything I've heard about his background in the KGB and his willingness to kill his enemies, he's someone that's not going to have an ego.
Yeah.
Shifty. Yeah. I call him a shifty little guy.
Yeah.
Luckily,
I think he's just like reading the vibe of the people either side of him.
Seems to be going well. Yes, I stand with these guys. He's to the left, she's to the right. No problem here. But look at like the person they've got. They've got the perfect person lined up to solve this little dilemma. Out you come, son. You've had your fun. Yes, please.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Well done.
That's well done. Good team. Good work, team. Yeah, nice. Okay, so while... the proxy war's got a bit more complicated now because it's a bit proxy-proxy because America is having to fund militarily Ukrainian efforts. But now, look, China might start funding Russia.
Yep.
So now it's like actual Russian dolls of funding load. Again, bigger and bigger and bigger funding.
Where's
who's
going to
fund China?
I know.
UFOs, that they are balloon enthusiasts.
We've decided to fund China for a little while.
Okay, listen, I think we're going to have to... Are we going to click over for a minute or can we do our Taiwan thing? Let's do our Taiwan thing. And then after that, we're going to have to leave you guys if you're watching anywhere other than Rumble because I'm going to talk about natural immunity and it's a subject that has to be... Well, it doesn't have to be censored, actually. I don't think it should be. I think you should be able to openly discuss things because you are a free adult individual with your own divine connection to the limitless. But apparently me and certain other platforms and power structures see things differently. Before you go, though, we'll give you a little... and if you stay with us, you can just go over Rumble and watch the full thing if you want to. But before we go, we'll just tell you this thing. Is Taiwan the next Ukraine? We have created a set of diagnostics to help us understand when we ask simply, is it? Now, let's have a look at the first criterion. Right, is it next to a superpower? Yeah, yes or no? Yes, because China. So what's the next question? There's some information on it from the great journalist John Pilger. Does that a superpower want their land? Yes or no? You can play along at home. Play along in the chat. Come and see if you can beat us. What's the next question? There it is. That's how you should define it. Is Taiwan resource rich like Ukraine is? Yes or no? Go on, try and guess along. It turns they are with semiconductors. And don't pretend you know what semiconductors are, because even though you keep hearing it on the news, you still don't know what they are. And if you think you know, let me know in the chat. Go on, tell me in the chat then. It's semiconductors. They make loads of them. Is that it? Have the US been giving them weapons? Oh, is it yes or no? Have they? Yes, they have been doing that. Uh-oh. It's starting to look like how things were in about 2014 between NATO and Russia. Is this going to work out well for everyone in the end? Let's have a look. Yes or no? No, potentially not, because what you're doing is you're aggravating a powerful nation that are willing to put placards around you, billboard you out of existence, and then march you off into whatever is Chinese for a gulag. I'm afraid I can't answer that at this point. Okay, so it seems like, according to our deep analysis, that Taiwan could be the new Ukraine. But, you know, don't matter what we think. Tell us what you think in the chat and the comments. Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble. Bob 303 goes, I want freedom to not buy bombs with my tax money.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. 777 Lionheart, WF are just foot soldiers for the elites. Carabine, we need a human party. Casper 1409 1990, the government should fear the people, not the other way around. Hunter Biden, I'm not going to read out your name. You know that. Well, actually, I can read that name. Hunter Biden likes crack 2022, because we're on Rumble. We can say stuff like that. Gaz needs a hat. I suppose you, they mean. And then Dark Dev says, YouTube just cut out as soon as you mentioned natural immunity. Yeah, that's because we click off as soon as we get into subjects that are going to be censored on that platform, even though that was a mainstream media news report. Mm. And now there are official studies that state that natural immunity is more effective than vaccines. But the YouTube regulations do not acknowledge that. And that's why we're here. This is why this is our home. This is why we're on that platform. This is why we want you to join local so you can join the conversation with us now. This is why we insist on having guests who, like us, are pro-truth. This is why I'm proud to introduce as our guest now news editor at antiwar.com and friend of the show, Dave DeCamp. All right, Dave.
Hey, Russell. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming on at the last minute. After Christian Smalls, Amazon union leader, didn't get delivered, we still think he might be next door. At any moment, he could turn up as a surprise package. In fact, we're hoping to get him on the show tomorrow, but we're thrilled to have you on, particularly with a few very pertinent questions to ask you. Firstly, I understand you went to that anti-war rally yesterday in Washington, D.C., and there were balloons floating about. Were people terrified at the potential that that balloon could spy on them or drift into then maybe brush past them and cause static?
Yeah, I did see a few F-22s flying around. They might have spotted some balloons, but the rally was really great. It was the Rage Against the War Machine rally, and it brought together people from all over the political spectrum, which is, you know, our whole thing at antiwar.com. I was organized by the Libertarian Party and the People's Party. Speakers included Jimmy Dore, who I know was on here to promote it, and Ron Paul, which was really amazing, Chris Hedges, our guy Scott Horton, just a whole list, Max Blumenthal, Dan McKnight, just a great lineup. I mean, I'm missing a lot of people because there were so many speakers. And there was a good showing. There was a few thousand. Estimates I saw were between 3,000 and 4,000, which is good. You know, we hope for more next time, but I think it's a good start. It's the first kind of rally of its kind during this current, you know, proxy war in Ukraine that brought together, again, everybody from the political spectrum, and they got the big names, and they spoke at the Lincoln Memorial, which was really great to see. And then they marched to the White House, and there was more speakers there. It was really just a good showing. And again, seeing the libertarians and the leftists and the conservatives just all mingling and talking, that was what made me really happy to see that they could get together on that. And I was there with my son, who's 15 months old. He just started walking, so my attention was focused on that. I wanted to write up kind of like a proper report on it, but I had a great time. It was great to meet people there, and it really invigorated me, you know, gave me some new motivation.
I've got some pitches now for your son's autobiography if he goes on to be a significant public figure. March before I could walk, my first steps in the activist movement. No need to thank me, Dave. That's completely free. You can have that. Meanwhile, over in the... And also, by the way, those kind of political alliances that are forming, libertarians on the right, they're interested in individual freedom. People to the left of the Democrat Party who are interested in collective community freedom and the empowerment of communities rather than centralized government, devolution and decentralization, individual freedom. These are the banners and flags that we can all march under together, I reckon. Meanwhile, in that not a proxy war, isn't it hotting up a bit, mate? Because Zelensky does say that it's part of his plan to take Crimea. Zelensky has said that he never planned to honor the Minsk agreement about like what's going on in Donbass. And also, isn't it pretty clear that if Crimea gets taken, we might all find ourselves in a terrible pickle, nuclear Armageddon-wise?
Yeah, and there's a few interesting points there when it comes to Crimea. So last month in January, there was a report in the New York Times that said the Biden administration was considering helping Ukraine attack Crimea, said they weren't concerned about escalation, and this is just based on the fact that Putin hasn't used the nuke up to this point. That's all they're basing this on. Oh, he hasn't done anything yet. You know, we don't have to worry about it, which is really unbelievable. And they quoted somebody in there from the RAND Corporation. If you're familiar with that think tank, you know, they're funded by the U.S. military. They've been shaping U.S. foreign policy for decades. And she said, oh, Putin, he hasn't really done anything big in response to attacks on Crimea. But that's not true. In October, if you remember the truck bombing of the Kerch Bridge, which connects Crimea to the Russian mainland, after that is when Russia started the large-scale bombing of Ukraine's energy infrastructure, leaving millions of Ukrainians without power. The fact that she says that and the New York Times reports it that way, oh, they haven't done anything. It shows they don't care about Ukrainians. That, you know, they're suffering much more.
Shows how dislocated are from the consequences of their actions. For the Ukrainian people, the loss of that energy was a pretty significant loss and a pretty considerable exacerbation in the conditions they're living under. And of course, we remember that bridge bombing because I feel like British Special Forces were significantly involved in enacting it. Remember it? By Jove, we did it. That's the British response to that line of inquiry. So what other developments around Crimea are we going to tell us about, mate?
Yeah, well, so recently, last week, Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, he acknowledged that taking Crimea would be a red line for Putin, which, you know, we've been saying all along and people call us Putin apologists for that, but here's Blinken saying it. And there's also been other indications. The Pentagon briefed Congress and said they're not going to be able to retake Crimea. It's unlikely. A lot of U.S. officials have been saying this, and then you have the Ukrainians still saying that they're going to retake the peninsula. But I think behind the scenes, the U.S. is telling them, you know, focus on this other territory for now, that, you know, they want to push this offensive over the next few months to retake other territory that Russia controls. And there's talks that the U.S. is saying, there's reports that this aid isn't going to last forever. They don't believe that they can get these huge aid packages anymore when this latest one is exhausted, which should be by the summer. They're going to spend all of it. So that's pretty significant. But then you see Biden fly into Kiev today, or however he, maybe he went on a train. I'm not sure how he got in, but to show Zelensky, you know, that support from the U.S. And I think that's pretty big symbolic when it comes to the proxy war, the president of the United States entering a war zone. But maybe behind the scenes, you know, in private meetings, he's telling them, all right, you know, this aid spigot isn't going to be open forever. You got to start gaining some territory, which is what the U.S. wants them to gain territory and then negotiate. But Russia has been building up its forces for months and months, and they're starting to gain territory. So these next few months are going to be pivotal. And there's talk that they're going to try to wind things down, but anything can happen. I mean, the escalation risk is still there, of course. The risk of nuclear war and direct war between NATO and Russia has never been higher, and it's just madness. So hopefully it ends as soon as possible and that, you know, these next few months aren't too bad.
Dave, you're getting a lot of love in our community on Locals. That's our membership community that any of you are welcome to join at any time and get additional content and the ability to communicate directly live in the show. MCMT says, hi, Russell. I really like Dave and I'm really enjoying his contributions. Trilo Bitterus, our government only cares about world political and economic domination, not the lives of Ukrainians or Russians. What do you think, mate, about not only this conflict, but the ongoing escalation of tension between Taiwan, China and the United States? We did earlier on a little item of how the various ways in which the territory of Taiwan, to forgive the use of that term, is comparable to Ukraine, i.e. vital resources, in this case, like the semiconductor industry, strategic benefits for the United States already in a place where there is sort of militarization taking place. And also, what about the story that China are continuing to militarily aid Russia?
So with Taiwan, you know, there's a lot there, and this has been going on for some time. I went over, you know, last time I was here, so I don't want to say too much about how the U.S. used to handle it, but basically, the U.S. used to give Taiwan, they would sell them weapons, but they wouldn't encourage them too much to declare independence because they knew that could start a war with China. But in recent years, the U.S. is really ramping up that support, and China is reacting immediately by increasing its military pressure on Taiwan. So that's all happening. What really concerns me with Taiwan is that in Congress, there is some opposition to the war in Ukraine, and it comes from a lot of Republicans. It's small, but it's still significant. But when it comes to Taiwan, a lot of them are all for sending these weapons, not to Ukraine, but to Taiwan. If you know Josh Hawley, he's a senator from Missouri, and he really encapsulates this line of thinking. He wrote a letter to Antony Blinken. He said, all these weapons that you're shipping to Ukraine, get them over to Taiwan. They want to really increase the flow of weapons. Some more Republicans just wrote a letter to Biden saying, add $2 billion for military aid for Taiwan in your next budget. And again, China is warning, you know, if you keep doing this, it could lead to war in the region, but the U.S. continues to provoke them. You know, when they first started passing these bills that had military aid for Taiwan, Mitt Romney, the senator, if you're familiar with him, he said, you know, what we're doing is very provocative and bellicose. Mitt Romney said that, and then he voted for it anyway. He voted in favor of sending them the aid anyway. So that's the path that we're going on there. And again, it's not slowing down by any means because there's no opposition. If you know Ro Khanna from California, House Representative, Democrat, progressive, he's against the Middle East wars. He's very good on Yemen and issues like that. He just went to Taiwan this weekend. I mean, there's no opposition. And that's what really scares me. That's why I think we have to wake a lot of people up to understand that the U.S. is preparing for war in the Asia Pacific, encouraging Japan to double its military budget, giving South Korea everything it wants, sending more bombers to the Korean Peninsula, increasing bases in the Philippines, opening a new base in Guam, expanding their military presence in Micronesia. Did people vote for that to expand the U.S. military footprint in Micronesia or Palau or the Marshall Islands? This is all happening, and people need to wake up to it and say, you know, we can't be doing this because we're going to provoke another war. And it's the people over there, unless it turns nuclear right away, it's the people in Taiwan, it's the people in Southeast Asia, it's the Chinese who are going to suffer.
It seems that we have systems that require conflict and crisis in order to sustain themselves. And in terms of US politics, currently there is no option that will not give you an escalation of global agitation. It seems like the Republican right, or the Republican Party in particular, are keen to escalate tension with China. The Democrats have for several years now demonized Russia. And the idea that diplomacy and multipolar worlds where different regions have different government that don't require intervention, it seems odd to me that at this point in our history, when progress seems observable in the areas of technology and medicine in so many ways, that we are making such rudimentary errors when the consequences could be so grave. And, you know, it's great that the war march that you and Jimmy and everyone from Grey Zone and all those groups that we're really supportive of and consider ourselves to be allies with, creating a movement around it. But it feels like it's something that needs to become pretty radically and significantly popularized and is going to require a meaningful political base. And do you see anything like that being able to emerge, Dave?
Well, again, I was pretty hopeful after this weekend. And, I have friends in the Libertarian Party. I'm a member. I'm not too involved. I focus my work at antiwar.com, and we're a nonprofit, so we can't do political work. But I am a supporter personally. And, you know, the Libertarian Party is the third largest political party in the U.S. And right now they're focusing on local elections. And, you know, that's kind of our whole thing as libertarians is decentralization and localizing. And so that's really important. And again, it comes to the coalition, I think is very important just to be able to drop it. I mean, we had Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich at this rally. And back when they were in Congress, Kucinich, the progressive, and Ron Paul, the right-wing libertarian, they worked together on all sorts of issues that they aligned on. That's really what we have to push. And luckily, you know, we're always talking about the mainstream media, how they control the narrative. I mean, since I've been on your show, I've been checking out Rumble more, and I see these shows on here getting huge audiences. And I think that's really encouraging. And also, Joe Rogan is the biggest media in the world. And my friend Dave Smith, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's a comedian. It's a podcast called Part of the Problem. He went on Joe Rogan and he told him, you know, the truth about how the U.S. provoked the war in Ukraine. And that got millions of views on YouTube. And so I think we're living in a very good time to be pushing this. You know, of course, we have the censors with big tech, but there's ways around it. And it's exciting. I'm excited. And it gets it's tough to not get too cynical doing what I do, just writing and researching about all this horrible stuff. But again, this weekend, I'm really motivated, and I really appreciate people like you who have big platforms and are willing to have us on to speak these truths that people need to hear.
Thanks for saying that, Dave. And much of the censorship and the smearing and the shutting down of dissent and the constant projection of inane stories and the provocation of division and entrenchment overly lobbied political parties suggests that there is an awareness that now more than ever the potential for change because of the information and communicative advances that have occurred in the last 10, 20 years require extreme effort to control. And, you know, that is cause for optimism. So, Dave, thanks for coming on here. Thanks for the incredible work that you're doing. And I'm going to be in America in the next couple of weeks. I hope that we get to connect soon. Thanks for joining us today, Dave. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, thanks. Thanks again for having me.
Remember that title I gave for your son's potential forthcoming autobiography, March Before I Could Walk, My First Tentative Steps as an Activist, might become relevant, I don't know.
That's pretty great, yeah.
It was all right, wasn't it, that I came up with that? Thanks, Dave. Cheers, mate, take care. On the show tomorrow, we've got Julia Rock coming on. She's from The Lever. She's reporting on the Ohio train wreck and the lobbying by rail companies to avoid safety measures that haven't led to... Oh, no, there's been a massive train wreck. We're going to be talking about that story a little bit more and its connotations. I like the way that it exposes the hypocrisy and lack of depth to the rhetoric around ecological care. Now, this is an opportunity to bring people together. Right? Look, we're talking about the ecology, the environment, how much we care about it. Here's a chance for us to demonstrate that care through our actions. And that's not what's happening.
No, it isn't what's happening. I think, you know, what's been labelled at the Biden administration and Buttigieg as well is that, you know...
Oh, well said. You actually said his name right. Buttigieg. I never feel confident saying Buttigieg.
But I think the best is that they've been basically silent and just haven't really been involved in this. And at worst are some of the things that the Lever are uncovering, which we spoke about earlier, and obviously Julie will talk about that tomorrow, about them literally siding with the railroad companies.
We've got some other exciting content tomorrow for you. You've got to join us. We're speaking to Dan Cohen on the NIH's search for the new Fauci. I hope they do it like a talent show, like America's Got Talent. New Fauci, do you like royalties? Have you got a good history? What's your connections like with the pharmaceutical industry? What you need is someone who's got no connections to the pharmaceutical industry, and I hope that they'll start there. Please also sign up to our locals community. That's what I respond to. And whoever sent that picture like of some boobs or whatever, I don't feel like you should do that in this kind of chat. I mean, I don't agree with censorship. I agree with free speech, but I also agree with politeness and kindness, but I feel like people are sorting that out among themselves.
Stop looking at it.
I've not.
They're not mine.
I've not got it up. I'm not looking at it right now. I'm looking at the normal chat.
Sure, okay.
Hold on, let me just make sure whether that's wrong or right. No, that's definitely wrong. That's wrong. No, we are anti-censorship. I'm also pro-respect, am I?
Yes, you are.
I was. Also, if you're a member of Locals, you can join us for our weekly show, Stay Connected, where we show you how we make this show. Plus, I do a weekly meditation with someone from the community. Like, they'll go, oh, I've had my heart broken or something like that. And then I do a meditation with them. And I'm almost 20% certain it helps. My stand-up special will be coming soon. You'll get it exclusively for a while on the Locals platform. And if that wasn't enough, I'm coming to your country, if you're in America, on March the 2nd. I'll be in LA at the Vermont Theatre. And on March the 6th, I'm going to be in Tampa at the Bilheimer Capital Theatre. You can go to russellbrand.com and get your tickets. Although they're on my mailing list. I think they got those first. Join us tomorrow, not for more of the same, but for more of the different. Why are you looking at me like that?
No, just watching it all happen.
This is it. This is me doing my work, doing what I do best. Join us tomorrow, not for more of the same, but for more of the different. Until then, stay free. Many switch in, switch on, switch off. Many switch in, switch on, switch off. Many switch in, switch on, switch off. Many switch in, switch on, switch off.